We're all tied up here in the ninth. Two and two is the count. Two outs and a man on third. The pressure is on for these young men. They've all worked so hard for this moment. One run is all they need to win it all.
Well, today we kick off a series entitled The Bottom of the Ninth, and we started off with stepping up to the plate. You know, you may be here this morning and you say, the bottom of the ninth, I see a baseball graphic. I'm not exactly a baseball fan, but let me tell you something. What it has to do with your life and my life is this. When you're in the bottom of the ninth and you're stepping up to the plate, that means that there's something missing. It means that you are behind. It means that you are down, but it also means that you're not out and it's not over. Let me ask you, just to be honest this morning, has there ever been a moment in your life where you've ever felt like you were behind? Anybody ever been there? Let me ask you this question. Has there ever been a moment in your life where you ever felt like you just didn't have enough? Anybody ever been there? Ever been a moment in your life where you felt like something was just absolutely missing? Well, in the bottom of the ninth in a baseball game, when you're stepping up to the plate, there is something missing. You don't have enough. And as I said, you're down, but you're not out. It is not over. One of my favorite baseball stories, it took place back in 1988. In 1988, it was the first game of the World Series. It was an all-California series. It's something unusual. The Oakland A's were playing the L.A. Dodgers, and the L.A. Dodgers had a star player that year by the name of Kirk Gibson. Kirk Gibson was an incredible player, but prior to the World Series, he pulled a hamstring running, and then he injured his knee sliding in to a base. Well, that meant this, that Tommy Lasorda, the manager, had to go to a different lineup. Gibson was not going to be available. Yet, as they made their way through the game, at some point in time, Gibson came to Tommy Lasorda, and here's what he said. He said, I know I'm hurt, and I know nobody's counting on me playing, but I want you to know if you need me, you can count on me. And periodically through the game, Gibson, even though he was hurt, said, Coach, I really would like to get involved in this game. And it came to the bottom of the ninth, and Gibson comes. The Dodgers are down. They need one run to tie, two to go ahead and win this first game. And Gibson comes to Lasorda, and he says, look, I'm going in the back, and I'm going to take some swings. And I'm going to be ready if you need me. Well, they go ahead and get to two outs. Bottom of the ninth, they're down by one. And Gibson comes up out of the dugout, and the stadium goes wild. The Dodger fans rise to their feet. He goes to the plate. He hobbles. He gets up there. He takes a swing at the first pitch, and he fouls it off. He takes a swing at the next pitch, and he fouls it off. Now, you talk about feeling like something's missing and something's behind. Here's a guy that said, Coach, you can go ahead and put me in. I'll step up to the plate. Now it's the bottom of the ninth, one on, two outs, and the count is 0-2. In case you don't know much about baseball, let me just tell you this. It's not good, all right? It's just not good. It's like, no, really, Coach, you can count on me. And now it's 0-2. Pitch comes in. He fouls it off. And it's really close to the first baseline, which means he has to run because the ump hasn't called it a foul ball yet. And he's hobbling down the first baseline. Count still 0-2. Dennis Eckersley An MVP-level pitcher is on the mound. He hasn't given up much at all. He hasn't given up a home run in a couple of months. Gibson gets back in, and there's ball one. And then we go ahead and see another pitch, and there's ball two. Now we've got two and two, and then there's ball three. So we got a full count. An injured player, bottom of the ninth, two outs. The pitch comes. Gibson swings out on his front foot, all upper body, makes contact. And as soon as there was contact and impact, the announcer said, "Oh my word, he's done it. It's a home run." And the ball is just flying out of the park to right field. He trots the bases the best he can. The stadium goes wild. And everybody says, "Man, this guy's a hero because he stepped to the plate and he hit a home run." Let me ask you something. Do you ever wish like you could go ahead and hit a home run when the pressure's on? Do you ever wish that when you felt like you were really behind and something was missing, you could do something and get it right? Do you ever feel like you just wish you could hang in there in the battle of life when you're facing odds that are really against you? Do you ever feel like you just go ahead and do something that would change everything all of a sudden? Well, today and for the next several weeks, we're going to look at a story about how we can find help and hope from God's Word. And how when we feel like we're behind in life, and when we're behind and the circumstances look like they're against us, and it's our bottom of the ninth moment, we're going to take a look at how we can go ahead and do some simple things that'll make a big difference to help us eliminate that feeling of being behind. To help us move from where we are to where God wants us to be. Today in Mark chapter 5, we're going to take a look at this passage of Scripture that has a story about a man who looks like he has everything together in life. And then we're going to be able to look at a lady who's struggling. A lady that we really don't even know her name. She's just described. And can I tell you, both of them are in a position in life where they are behind. But both of them also do something that you and I need to do when we feel like it's the bottom of the ninth in our life. And here's what they do. They step up to the plate and they say, "Jesus, I believe that you're the answer." They step up to the plate and they put themselves out there where Jesus can go ahead and help them. They step up to the plate and say, "Okay, Jesus, you are our hope, and we're going to go ahead and put our trust in you." I want to go ahead and read a passage of Scripture, and then there's going to be two key verses that'll be up on the screen. But I want to go ahead and just read these passages of Scripture from Mark chapter 5, and we'll take a look at these verses in just a moment. Mark chapter 5, I'm going to go ahead and start reading in verse number 22. It says this, "And behold, one of the rulers of the synagogue came, Jairus by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet." He sees Jesus and he falls at his feet. Now you talk about feeling like you're behind. You talk about feeling like you don't have enough. You talk about a moment where you're saying, "Man, circumstances in life is against me. I need to go ahead and get something right." Here's what he does in verse number 23. It says, "And he begged him earnestly, saying, 'My little daughter lies at the point of death. Come and lay your hands on her that she may be healed and she will live.'" So get this in your mind. This is the moment in Jairus's life. He's a leader. He's a ruler. He's somebody down at the synagogue. People know his name, but you know what? Being a leader, being a ruler, being a teacher, being someone of influence doesn't eliminate the reality that he's at a point in his life where something's missing. It doesn't eliminate the reality that he's at a point in his life where there's trouble, where there's something that's tugging at his heart, where there's something that's hurting him, where there's something that's causing him to feel like, "Wow, something is missing in my life." Verse number 24, the Bible says this. He looks at him, and Jesus looks, and he sees the heartache of a father. And it says, "So Jesus went with him, and a great multitude followed him and thronged him." Then it says this, verse number 25, "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. So she suffered from many people. This lady has struggles that are unbelievable. It says she had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. Do you ever feel like you've done everything you could do and life is not any better? You ever feel like you've put everything into something that you could go ahead and put, and you've done everything that you could think of, and it just seems like there's no progress and you're still behind? That's where this lady is. It says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment, for she said, if only I may touch the clothes or the hem of his garment, I shall be made well. You see, that was faith in action. She was following Jesus in faith. She said, if I could just touch him, if I could just reach out and just get his garment, just a part of his robe, things would be okay. Verse number 29, it says, immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing himself that power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, you see the multitude thronging you, and you say, who touched me? Pretty amazing that Jesus pays so close attention. And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. She explained her situation. She had explained how she had tried anything and everything, and she had only been hurt, and life had only gotten worse. And what did Jesus go ahead and say to her? He said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. While he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house, who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? Some people came from his house and said, Jairus, just a little bit ago, you had asked Jesus to come to the house with you, and now there's been delays, and there's been other people that have gotten in your way, and circumstances have changed. You felt behind just a little bit ago. You felt like you weren't enough. You felt like something was missing, and now it's gotten even worse. Your daughter is dead. Don't trouble Jesus anymore. Do you know what they were saying? They were saying life is so bad for you right now that not even Jesus can go ahead and help you. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid. He said, don't go ahead and put your faith in what you've just heard. Don't go ahead and think that the circumstances of life are greater than I am. Don't listen to their words. He says, I want you to listen to my word. Do not be afraid, only believed. He says, and he permitted no one to follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. Then they came to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and saw a tumult, and those who wept and wailed loudly. People were crying and they're grieving a loss. And when he came in, he said to them, why make this commotion and weep? This child is not dead, but sleeping. And then they ridiculed him. But when he had put them outside, he took the father and mother of the child and those who were with him and entered where the child was lying. He took the child by the hand and said to her, Talitha kumai, which is translated, little girl, I say to you, arise. And immediately the girl arose and walked, for she was 12 years of age, and they were overcome with great amazement. And he commanded them strictly that no one should know it, and said that something should be given her to eat. In this passage of scripture, we see a story of a man who's on a journey in life, and he's obviously behind. We've already said we've had those moments where we feel like it's the bottom of the ninth and we're behind. It's the bottom of the ninth in our life, and we feel like something is missing. It might be missing emotionally. It might be missing financially. We might feel like we're behind in a relationship. We might feel like there's a struggle, and we might be looking and saying, you know, I'm just wondering if there's anything that I can do to change this. That's where Jairus was. He has a daughter that's sick, and then the news gets worse. Now she's dead. We've got a lady who's done everything she could do. She's been behind for 12 years. For 12 long years, she's went to doctor after doctor, and the Bible says they did nothing for her. They took her money, and her health just went went downhill. Her bank account just went downhill. Now she's got this problem. And culturally speaking, in that day and time, her friendships would have been going downhill as well. And she's alone and she's struggling. But you notice that both of them have one thing. They believe that Jesus can make the difference. What I've discovered in my life and what you will discover in your life is this. In the bottom of the ninth moments, it might mean that we're down, but it means we're not out. It means there's still hope. And here's the reality. If we would just go ahead and step up to the plate and believe that Jesus is the answer, it can begin to change everything. You see, there's two verses that I want to go ahead and share this morning. We're going to put them up on the screen, and I want to read them to you. They flow right out of this story. It says, and he said to her, the woman with the issue of blood, the woman who's tried everything, here's what he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Do you know what Jesus said to her? Jesus said, you stepped up to the plate and you put your faith in me. You stepped up to the plate and you believed that I was the answer. You believed that I was your hope. Life was against you, circumstances had hurt you, but you trusted me. He says, go your way. Your faith has made you whole. We look at another verse, and it says this, while he was speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead, why trouble the teacher any further? Sometimes we feel like we're in the bottom of the ninth moment in our life, and we're behind and we ask ourselves, does Jesus care? Is Jesus the answer? Is Jesus able to do anything about our problem and our issue? Because after all, our problems and our issues are really big and we're not certain that Jesus can handle it. You see, that's where the crowd was. That's where his friends were on that day. But what did Jesus say? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. Do you realize that Jesus looked at both of these lives, two people from different paths, two people dealing with completely different problems, but Jesus said, you know what? Here's the answer. It's trust, it's faith, it's you believing that I can go ahead and make the difference. It's you believing that I truly am the answer. So let's break it down as what it really looks like when we begin to go ahead and believe, when we begin to go ahead and realize, okay, we might be down, but we're not out. What can we learn from these two individuals and their story? What can we learn from one simple word that's just believe? Because that's what Jesus said, believe. He said faith. Both of them made a difference. Well, here's the first thing that you discover. No matter how bad life is and no matter where you're from and what the issue is that's surrounding you, that's troubling you, that's making you feel like you're behind, here's something that we definitely need to remember, and it's this, that Jesus is always approachable. You've got to believe that Jesus is always approachable. It's something that we look at that sets Jesus apart from any other religious leader. We know all kinds of things set him apart, but one thing that sets him apart is he's always approachable. He was available to the common person. Do you notice that we know Jairus' name, but we don't know the name of the woman with the issue of blood? The one that was in the crowd, the one that had a great physical struggle, the one who had literally went searching to doctor and person after person and said, could you help me? And over, she received no help and no answer. Life was only worse. You see, there's something that just jumps through, and it's this, that Jesus is always approachable. You see, Jairus thought, you know what, I've got a problem, and I believe that Jesus is the answer. And what did he do? He goes to Jesus, and Jesus says, sure, I'll go with you. You got a problem, I'll go ahead and I'll walk with you. You see, Jairus stepped up to the plate and he said, I'm going to go to Jesus. This was a pretty big decision for Jairus to do because he was somebody down at the synagogue. And can I tell you something? The people at the synagogue did not believe that Jesus had all the answers. They did not believe that Jesus was the way, the truth, and the life. They were not saying, hey, let's go and follow Jesus. But Jairus knew something was different about him, and he said, look, I want to go, and I want to put myself out there, and I want to take my story and my problem and my need to Jesus. And Jesus said, yeah, that's fine. He stopped. He listened. The woman with the issue of blood, what'd she say? I've tried everything else. I'm going to go to the one that has the name Jesus. And she went to him. She got to him. She just kind of snuck in the midst of the crowd, and she reached out and she just touched the garment. Jesus is approachable. You see, he cares about the loss and the grief and the sickness and the struggle of a father and his daughter. He cares about the deep problems of health for the woman with the issue of blood. But not only that, he cares about all the things that were socially unacceptable for her during that time. She wasn't one that had many friends. She didn't have somebody there saying, hey, we want to help you get to Jesus. She just went out on a limb and she said, okay, Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and approach you. I don't know what your need is today, and I don't know what you're feeling behind in. I don't know what you feel is lacking or missing in your life, but can I tell you this story right from Mark chapter 5 teaches you and I that no matter who we are and no matter what the problem is, Jesus is approachable. You can bring the struggle to Jesus. You can bring your hurt to him. You see, they felt behind, but they stepped up to the plate and said, okay, Jesus, we're going to go ahead and bring it to you. And they found out that Jesus really was their hope and that Jesus really was their answer. And maybe today you feel a little behind. Maybe today is the day you step up to the plate and say, okay, Jesus, honestly, I'm tired of this struggle. Your word teaches that you're approachable, so I'm bringing it to you. Well, it doesn't stop there because it teaches us something else that's extremely important in it, and it's just real basic. It's not real deep theologically, but it's real basic, and we need to know. It's that Jesus is interested in your greatest need. He's interested in your greatest need. And sometimes we look and we say, man, my greatest need right now is my finances. My greatest need right now is my job. My greatest need right now is what I feel like I'm behind in. But do you know what Jesus taught them their greatest need was? At that moment in life? Do you notice that Jesus never shunned them away? Jesus didn't push them away. He was interested in their greatest need. Jairus says, look, my daughter is sick. They tell me she's dying. Would you come with me? And without hesitation, the Bible teaches us that Jesus turned and went. He went with him. Verse number 23, 24, there it is. It's right there. He turned and he went. But Jesus spoke to their heart, and he said, here's your greatest need. Your greatest need is to believe. Your greatest need is to trust me. You see, you and I often think that our greatest need is the circumstance that we're facing, but our greatest need is to trust God and believe God in those circumstances and outside of those circumstances. You see, my greatest need in this life and your greatest need in this life is our need for a Savior. The Bible says that all of us have missed the mark. The Bible says that God made a way because we missed the mark, because we were behind because of this thing called sin, because we were missing the mark. Something was missing from our life because of sin. Jesus gave his life so that we don't have to be behind in that area. He can give us his grace and he can cover what's lacking, what's missing through that personal relationship with him that only he can give. Jesus is interested in our greatest need. He didn't tell Jairus, look, I'm not going to your house. He was interested. What happens when the woman says, look, if I could just go ahead and reach out and touch his garment, I would be okay. If I only touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And the Bible says in verse number 30, and Jesus immediately knowing in him the power had gone out of him, he turned around in the crowd and said, who touched my clothes? But his disciples said to him, seriously? I mean, there's a crowd of people. This is where you're at. And Jesus said, yeah, seriously, somebody touched me. All right, I know it. There's a lot of people, but somebody touched me. And then he looked around and he makes eye contact and he obviously sees the one who's done it. And she begins to explain the situation and Jesus listens. And he says, your faith has made you whole. He doesn't push her away. You see, some of us might think that Jesus is approachable, but then sometimes we think that Jesus really doesn't care about what's going on in our life. We think that Jesus isn't really that interested in what we're facing and what we're dealing with. But you know, over and over and over, this book from beginning to end, Genesis to Revelation, is filled with stories of common, ordinary people who were hurting, who were facing challenges, who felt like they were in the bottom of the ninth moment in their life, and they turned to God, and God said, you can go ahead and come. I'm interested. I want to make that difference. I want to help you through. I have the answer. I'm your hope. You see, Jesus is genuinely interested in your greatest need. He's genuinely interested in your greatest need. But we've got to bring that need to him. You see, one leader brought the need. One common, ordinary woman suffering in an incredible way brought the need. And Jesus said, I'm interested. I want to know what's going on. Well, there's something that Jesus tells us in this passage of Scripture. That verse that we read just a moment ago. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Be healed of your affliction. And then while he was still speaking, some came from the ruler of the synagogue's house who said, your daughter is dead. Why trouble the teacher any further? As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, do not be afraid, only believe. What did Jesus say to both of them? Jesus said, I'm greater. You know, something that we must become convinced of, that we must believe, is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than what you think the score of your life is. Jesus is greater than what you feel like is keeping you behind. Jesus is greater than what you feel like you need to overcome. Jesus is greater. Well, what's he greater than? For Jairus, he was greater than sickness and he was greater than death. Because he walked in and he said, hey, what's going on? The girl is just sleeping. People began to laugh. He said, you can go ahead and leave. I'm greater than this. If you don't want to believe that I'm greater than this, you're going to miss out on it. You ever stop and think about the things that we miss out on that God wants to do in our life because we don't bring things to him and truly believe that he's greater? You see, for the woman with the issue of blood, Jesus was greater than all those that had failed her. Jesus was greater than all those that had hurt her. Jesus was greater than all those that said, there is no answer, it can't be taken care of. There is no solution. Jesus was greater. For Jairus, Jesus was greater than those who came up to him and said, look, there's no point in troubling him. It's done, it's over. There's nothing that can be done to help you and to help her at this point. Jesus said, oh, I would disagree. He said, don't be afraid. Don't listen to them. He said, only believe. Today, there's a temptation in my life and in your life to let what other people say affect whether or not we believe that Jesus is greater. There's a temptation in my life and in your life when we feel like we're behind to say, I don't know whether God can take care of this or not. I don't know whether Jesus can go ahead and handle it because I'm not sure that he's been down this road before. I'm not sure what he's up against. We don't say it like that, but that's how it unfolds. There's a temptation for us to listen to the voice of others or to listen to the voice of our experience when it's been negative and when it's not turned out like we want it to. There's a tendency for us to hold on to the hurt that's been caused by other people and just say, oh, Jesus isn't greater than those things. Can I tell you something? Jesus tells us in this passage of Scripture, I am greater. He shows us that he's greater than the doubts of others. He shows us that he's greater than what physicians are. He tells us that he's greater than our resources. He tells us he's greater than what we can do on our own. Jesus tells us that he's the answer. Do you know what Jesus does? Jesus says, okay, Jairus, okay, woman with the issue of blood, the nameless one. He says, here's what I want to do for both of you. I just want to call you to believe. That's what Jesus does. Jesus just calls us to believe. To believe what? That he is the answer. To believe that he is our hope. To believe that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Both of them put themselves in a position where they said, okay, we feel like there is no hope and we feel like we don't have much of an answer. If any answer, but here it is. We're going to go ahead and we're going to step up to the plate and we're going to believe that Jesus is the answer. We're going to believe that Jesus is the way and that Jesus is the one that can help us. And today, I don't know what area of life you're feeling behind in. I don't know where you feel like you're at, but can I tell you something? I don't know what the circumstance is. I don't have to know what the circumstance is. I can tell you this, Jesus is greater than your circumstance. Jesus is greater than your struggle. He's greater than your hurt. He's greater than your setback. He's greater than this moment where you feel like you're behind in life. Jesus is greater. Jesus is just saying, would you believe? Today, would you believe that Jesus is greater than your sin and just step up and say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to believe. I'm going to place my faith in you. Today, would you just say, okay, Jesus, I do feel like I'm behind, honestly, but I'm just going to step up and I'm going to believe. I'm going to accept that call to believe, and that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this bottom of the ninth moment, and I'm going to say, okay, Jesus, I'm going to believe. I'm going to trust you. See, I don't know what your moment is, but I know this, Jesus is greater. He's approachable. He's interested. And he's calling all of us to believe. So today, would you just approach Jesus and say, hey, here I am. I'm trusting you to be greater. And I'm going to believe regardless of what the circumstances might be. Would you pray with me? Father, we come to you today. And Lord, I'm asking you to speak to hearts. Lord, there are many of us right now that have a feeling of being behind in a certain area of life. A feeling of having a struggle that it seems like we can't do anything about. Lord, there's many of us who have needs that are far greater than we are, and we feel hopeless. We feel like we're almost out of time to solve the situation. Father, help us to remember that in every moment, and especially those moments, you are approachable. We can bring those things to you. You are interested in our greatest need. You demonstrate over and over and over that you are greater. And you just call us to believe. So, Father, today I pray that you would help us to believe, to place our faith and trust in you, first and foremost as our Savior. And, Father, beyond that, to help us to believe that you are capable of taking care of everything in our life each and every day. Father, please help us with that. In just a moment, we're going to have an invitation time. And today, if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, if there's not been that moment where you've invited Jesus to forgive you of your sins, where you've said, Jesus, I know I've missed the mark of perfection. I know I'm not perfect, but I believe that you died for me. And the best I know how, I'm going to place my faith and trust in you. There's never been that moment, but you would like to do that today. The moment we begin to sing, I would just encourage you to leave your place. We'll have someone meet you right here at the front and take you through some passages of Scripture right out of the Bible and show you how Jesus is greater than your sin and how Jesus will forgive it and how Jesus will be your Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, John, I've already trusted Jesus as my Savior. I believe Him for that. Let me ask you, are you approaching Him with the struggles and the problems that are making you feel behind right now? He's interested. His way is greater. He calls us to a path of faith. And if we'll trust Him and we'll take that direction and do what He says, He'll take care of it. Imagine the walk for Jairus going back to his home when others have said, it makes no sense. Jesus said, just walk with me. Let's go ahead and keep going, because Jesus knew He was greater. Jesus knew He could take care of it. Maybe today you're on that path where you might feel like it's a little hopeless. You just need to come to Jesus and trust Him and walk that path with Him. Approach Him. He's interested. His plan, His purpose, His way is greater. He's calling you to believe and trust, and to believe and trust means we're going to follow. Maybe today you would just like to come and pray and say, Lord, help me to do that. Help me to follow. Maybe it's to pray right where you are. Whatever the need might be, just let God speak to your heart and respond to Him. Would you stand with me, please? If you know the words, I invite you to sing along. But most importantly, I invite you to respond to Him.